Wonderful to be in here and to declare the word of God and to thank the Lord for this place. We are going to turn to John 7, verse 37. John 7, verse 37. But before that, we shall read from Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, and we'll read from verse 1 and till 7. So Isaiah 55, verse 1 to 7. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the mercies of David, the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So we turn to our text, John chapter 7, verse 37, and the title of this sermon is The Greatest Invitation, or The Greatest Invite. Now, it is widely reported that there's a rising number of people disillusioned with life right across the globe. This is much more pronounced among the youth. It is said that there's a restless generation of dissatisfied young people seeking for meaning in life, questioning the whole purpose and meaning of life, and many young people are not sure about the truth anymore. We live in a postmodern environment globally. Now, there isn't, as some people think, absolute truth. In fact, now your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth. It's fluid. And therefore, I can even say, I'm a man that should be a woman. Or a woman can say, I'm a woman who should be a man. We're trapped in these bodies, the wrong bodies. And now even to say things like, Or rather, to define what a woman is almost a crime. You can't say that, people will say. And many youths are being swept even by all these philosophies that don't believe in objective truths. On top of that, you've got movements, anti-God, secular movements, like the LGBTQ, the Black Lives Matter, and all manner of groups, Extinction Rebellion, who are saying that no, God doesn't matter, His word doesn't matter. What matters is what man says. What matters is what we believe. God is pushed aside. High and holy things are pushed aside. But in the midst of all that, there is a longing by many for satisfaction. There is a longing, especially for the youth, to find certainty in an uncertain world. Youths turning to so many sources for satisfaction, sources that don't provide true satisfaction. And dear friends, undoubtedly, out there, there's a great yearning, a great thirsting for something, something real, something true, all in the midst of an environment that says there isn't anything like truth. And dear friends, this longing for satisfaction can be met, and the Lord Jesus Christ in this text provides a solution for this great longing for satisfaction. Let us turn to our text and see what the Lord has to say. So John 7, verse 37, pardon me. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Dear friends, there's been a feast of tabernacles, a ritual that's been held by the Jews for generations. And in the temple, on the last day of that feast, whether it's the seventh day or the eighth day, regardless, the Lord Jesus Christ stands in the midst of the temple, as it were, and he utters these stark words, if any man thirst, let him come. And as we consider this text, I'd like us to consider three points about it. Firstly, Christ's urgent invitation. Secondly, that all men thirst. And thirdly, that Christ alone can satisfy thirsty souls. So then, Christ's invitation. Well, Christ's invitation is earnest. It's urgent. How do we know that? Well, two things. First of all, he cries. That's a loud call. And then he stands. Very unusual for the Lord Jesus Christ. He usually taught as he sat down, or he sat down and taught the word. And in this case, he stands. It's urgent. It's almost as if he's saying, listen to me. You spent 7 days offering sacrifices. You spent 7 days observing the libation by the high priest, pouring water on the altar. The Lord says, turn aside from your religion and turn to me. And so he stands. He commands a hearing. And strangely enough, no one tells him to shut up. No one tells him, move aside. We're still celebrating. No, he commands even a hearing from the people. He pleads for a hearing. He has something important to say to them. And the Lord Jesus Christ, look, he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He doesn't say, if any man thirst, let him go to the high priest. Actually, it's a bold statement. He's saying there's something about me. There's something about me that can satisfy you. There is something in me that will provide for you. Actually, he's saying that I am God in the midst of the temple. He's actually saying, what you're doing, what you've been doing, is irrelevant. What you've been doing are types and shadows that point to me. Come unto me, he says. And interesting, isn't it? He chooses the last day as they're about to depart, perhaps. He pleads for a hearing. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks to them about himself, that he has something to provide. He declares himself as the fountain opened wide. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true fountain of life. Just as that hymn says, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. Come to the fountain, he's saying to them. And Christ is saying, I'm available. I'm here. This is what I came for. I am that great fountain. Come and drink. Drink as much as you can. Christ offers himself as true water, like he did to that Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, verse 15. And this woman, after she's convinced, she says, give me this water that I thirst not. And so Christ offers himself to this crowd, this congregation. He, as it were, reflects Isaiah. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come unto me, Christ says. But secondly, friends, Christ indicates that all men thirst. Yes, he says, if any man thirst. In a way, that invitation is saying, those that know they thirst. But at the same time, Christ knows that every man thirsts. Obviously, he's not speaking about physical water. He speaks of deep, deep soul cravings. Yes, mankind has cravings of one sort or another. Men crave for fame and fortune and all sorts of things. Christ here is not necessarily speaking of general thirst. He's speaking of a specific thirst, a deep soul craving thirst. Men crave for joy, true joy. Mankind craves for wisdom and peace and understanding. Christ speaks of this. Christ is saying to that congregation that you are empty, that there is great emptiness in all. And Christ is saying, if you recognize your emptiness, your spiritual thirst, if you recognize that this world cannot satisfy that thirst, come to me, he says. Why do you go to broken cisterns for life? Come to me, Christ is saying to those who thirst, those who have a great void within, a sense of emptiness deep inside, a sense of uncertainty, like Adam of old, bodies lifeless until the spirit breathes into the being, spiritually dead until God breathes eternal life. Until the spring of eternal life flows forth, dead in trespasses and sins. Christ says, come to me. Christ is saying, don't get your satisfaction. You won't get satisfaction from this world. Christ is saying, if you want true purpose and meaning, come to me. Christ is saying, true satisfaction is only found in the Godhead. It's as if he declares the shorter catechism to them. What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Christ, he calls out to any that are thirsty. Dear friends, this morning, Christ calls out to you. Are you thirsty this morning? Do you long for meaning deep within your heart? Do you long to know true joy? Do you have a troubled conscience because of sin? Do you know that within yourself there is nothing, nothing but emptiness? Have you tried everything in this life? Have you tried to be satisfied by all sorts of things and still have this longing deep within you for truth and reality, for Christ himself? Do you look at Christians and say to yourself, they have something that I haven't got. They know someone that I don't. Dear friend, if you thirst, Christ says, come to him. He is available even now. He will receive you if you come to him. sincerely, with great humility. Come, dear friend. Thirdly, Christ alone can satisfy thirsty souls. Dear friends, Christ is best suited to satisfy your longing soul. Christ, He is God. God eternal, the eternal Son of God. He has everything at His disposal. He has all to provide thirsty souls. He cannot fail to satisfy a soul. He's the only means by which a soul might be satisfied. Dear friend, you are not just a body. Your body and soul. And your soul is the most important part of you. Sadly, we spend so much time beautifying our bodies, spend too much time pampering our bodies, and neglect the soul. Dear friend, the soul is the most precious part of your being. When you die, and we will die, what happens? Your soul leaves your body behind. Let me rephrase that. You leave your body behind. Your soul is you. Your body is just a tent given to you. You've borrowed it for a season through this pilgrim journey on this earth. Borrowed for a season, given to you by God. Your soul, indeed, either flies up to heaven if you are redeemed, or it sinks deep, deep, deep into hell. Dear friends, the soul, that longing within you is your soul, calling out, crying out for meaning. And Christ is calling upon you for your soul to be yielded up to Christ. He knows the needs of your soul. Christ alone knows what you need. Christ alone can satisfy that thirsty soul. He has the power to satisfy your soul. He has the wisdom. He knows exactly what to do. He knows exactly what your soul needs. Christ, He has the great knowledge to provide you and I with eternal life. He is Lord of all being. He gives life eternal because He is eternal. He created all things. All things belong to Him. Every soul created by God. Don't think for a moment that when you're born, somehow your parents give you your soul. It's God that gives you that soul, and He gives it for a reason, that you might glorify Him throughout your pilgrim journey. Dear friends, what a tragedy. We live on this earth 20 years, 30, 40, 60, 70, maybe 100. Wasting that precious resource of the soul given by God. Instead of spending time glorifying God, doing his will, can live for self, pursuing useless things that provide you without any eternal hope. Yes, God has given us things freely to enjoy. But dear friends, those things are supposed to be enjoyed within a framework to glorify God as we enjoy the things he provides. Christ knows what your soul needs. Christ, because he felt pity upon us, he comes, and then he dies in our place. He's like unto us, taking upon himself a body, and then on the cross, he dies for sinners. What a Savior! What a God! Christ can satisfy your thirsty soul. Are you thirsty this morning? Are you longing for reality and truth? Christ will satisfy your soul. But why Christ? Can we not do it ourselves? Man is impotent to satisfy himself. Blindness of sin, totally incapable, totally depraved. We cannot bring ourselves into a state of being truly satisfied. We need another to do it for us. An angel cannot satisfy our souls. Even a holy angel, all the hosts of angels cannot satisfy our souls. We need Jesus Christ, the only Savior. Christ alone is able to satisfy our souls. We are powerless to do anything about satisfying our souls. Bonded to sin, slaves of sin. We are free from righteousness and caught up in sin. Dear friend, I want to ask you the question, are you thirsty? Have you heard the call to come to Christ? Have you drunk from the fountain of life? Have you been refreshed by his eternal living streams? You might say to yourself, I'm still young. I cannot come to Christ. I've got my life ahead of me. You're gambling with your life. You don't know how long you have. The Lord might take you any moment. Just yesterday, I think it was, on Greatest Road, some women traders going off to trade, not knowing that shortly thereafter, they'll be gone. Life is fragile. Life, dear friends, doesn't belong to us. God at any moment will call you away. There are people that die. I went to Memorial Park during the week, last week, to go and see some friends who have passed on in the last 2 years, just to be there and read some of the texts on their gravestones. And dear friends, I was struck by the fact that some of the gravestones, as I passed by, had young children, 5-year-old, 6-year-old. You are never too young to die. And so don't say you are too young. Maybe you say, I'm too sinful. Ah, I've got good news for you. The more sinful you are, the better a candidate you are for Christ, Christ's salvation. Christ came to save sinners. Romans 5 verse 6, Christ died for the ungodly. Are you ungodly? Christ died for you. It's a fact. He gave himself, his death on the cross was sufficient to meet your needs, no matter how sinful you are. Or you might say, I don't believe in God, so I won't come to this Christ. Well, dear friend, I'd like to tell you that there isn't anyone who doesn't believe in God. You have worked upon yourself. You've tried to stamp upon your conscience. You tried to stifle your conscience. There isn't a single person who's a true atheist. And dear friends, God exists. The very fact that you are alive is testament to God's existence. Look around you. Look. It's all there in the sky. Daytime, nighttime, the sun, the moon, the stars. Are they there by chance? Ridiculous, the idea that we evolved. How? The Big Bang from nothing? How can matter come from nothing? Impossible. There must be someone who has created all things. Dear friends, that's just an excuse. There is enough evidence. But dear friends, we have evidence in the Word, God's Word. If you sincerely come to the Word and pray to the Lord, that I'm an atheist, show me, the Lord will. If you come sincerely and humbly to his word, he will open up his word to you. Dear friends, come to Christ. What can I say? Christ is lovely. Christ, what a savior. Why did he come? He didn't need us. He could have left us to perish. He could have created new creatures. But in love, he plans for us to die on Calvary's cross. He yields up himself, God himself, God's Son, crucified with common criminals, dying on our behalf, taking away our guilt. Come to him, dear friend. He will provide you with righteousness, true righteousness. He'll take away that filthy robe of sin and give you his robe of righteousness. Your guilt will be taken away. No more penalty for sin. The power of sin dealt with, and in days to come, the presence of sin dealt with. And before I close, are you a believer? And thus far, you are not living for the Lord. I'd like to challenge you, dear friend. I'd like to redirect you. The world is just broken systems. Christ alone can satisfy. Surely you must know this. You knew this when you were saved, that Christ alone could satisfy. What happened? Where is your zeal? Where is your longing for Christ? Oh, why would you depart from Christ? Why? Oh, Christ is everything. Oh, Might we love him and be devoted to Christ. And so, dear friends, Christ calls out, loud cry, surely Christ knows something we don't know. Surely Christ is not doing this for nothing. If any man thirsts, let him come. Come to Christ. Dear friends, Christ alone can satisfy your longing soul. Christ alone can deal with your needs. Christ alone will see you through life. And when you die, he will receive you. Do you remember Stephen? Stephen, he sees the Christ and he longs for him. Come to Christ. Dear friends, what can I say? Come to Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, thou who knowest all our needs, we look to thee now and pray that it might please thee to cause us to turn unto thee. Help us to realize that this world cannot satisfy us, cannot satisfy our longing souls. Help us, O Lord, to come to Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, whom thou hast given, that we might have life. O Spirit of God, open up our hearts. Cause us to flee to Christ, even before the end shall come. And so help us each one. Go before us. Keep us in thy love. And now, may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide on each one of us, now and evermore. Amen.